It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
If you're easily offended, this show may not be for you.
But if you're into that weird fun sh**, you've come to the right place.
You've been warned.
Are you there?
I'm Chris, I'm the believer.
I'm Cody, I'm the skeptic. Okay, stories. Let's get into it.
Hello, and welcome to BSP, Believer Skeptic Podcast.
The podcast where two idiots debate weird phenomena.
I'm Chris, I'm the believer.
I'm Cody, I'm the skeptic.
And if this is your first time listening to us, we're an LGBTQ paranormal comedy podcast and proud members of the Podmoth Network. And this is a full episode, again, coming at you late.
But we are together.
Yes.
And that makes me happy because I feel like our dynamic, we just have more fun whenever it's together.
Yeah. And late because, again, I opened a show on Friday and I've just been going nonstop. Like, today is like the first break since like August.
That's true. You've been a busy beat. But
since August.
So September. Oh, God, like 6 months almost. Five months.
Nonstop.
6 months. Yeah. Well, anyone, if we have any, our Phoenix listeners, go see Chess.
The musical. Turned out to be amazing. Follow me on social media. You'll find out all about it. Yeah. But anyhow, on to our topic.
Yay.
Our topic was inspired by our previous episode, the pregnancy one. That's where it all spawned from. Gross.
That just spawned.
Yeah.
Sorry, that just came out of nowhere.
So, yeah. So, you want to go from there?
I'm crying. Yes. So we talked about, this is this episode we've talked about for a long time. And we mentioned in one of the stories, the Phoenix Lights.
As the Star Children or whatever.
Yes, that's right. I was like, I don't remember which story.
The E.T. Children.
But we decided, like, we've been talking about it for years. So why don't we go ahead and just do it? So we're talking about the Phoenix Lights.
Not only that, in 6 days will be the 25th anniversary of this incident. So
that's right.
It's timely, intentionally.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. You did tell me that. I forgot. Yeah, so we're going to have information, stories, encounters, and stuff coming at you.
All about the Phoenix Lights.
All about the Phoenix Lights. So should we do drinks with that?
Sure, because I totally forgot. So we went right before. But
we both forgot. And so together we journeyed to the land of fries and got some drinks.
You go first. I went first last time.
Okay. Well, I got something. This was more of a thing that I just wanted. So, because Papago Orange Blossom is one of my favorite beers, mm-hmm. and it's local. And I was like, you know, what better way to celebrate Phoenix Lights than a local beer? But they released recently, I can't get it out of the bag, Papago Cherry Blossom.
Oh, nice.
And it's dark cherry, and it's the same kind of beer. And I'm like, I really just need to try this.
Yeah.
And so that's what I got. So go check it out, people. Support local.
Yeah. So I'm not local. I'm giving into corporations here, you know.
You got Coke? What happened?
So, I couldn't think of a drink. Of course, this is about the UFO light incidents. So, I was thinking space, galactic, and Coke released
what?
a limited edition. Uh-huh. It's called Starlight, and it says at the bottom, space flavored. So I've never tried it.
I read your mind. I had no idea.
I had to get a whole case because they didn't sell them singly, but we'll see what it tastes like.
Is it a different flavor? Or is it just branding?
Oh, it's different.
Oh, it's different. Yeah, it's got a different color to
it's
it.
It's pink.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Coca-Cola Starlight. It tastes like space. It tastes like strawberry.
Oh, that's good. That's got something weird to it, but I like it.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's good.
So.
Okay, well, with that.
History.
Should we do some history while I try my cherry?
All right. On March 13th, 1997, almost 25 years ago, an incident occurred here in Phoenix, Arizona, which has been given the name of the Phoenix Lights, and also sometimes called Lights Over Phoenix. As you can probably guess by the name, the Phoenix Lights were mass sightings of UFOs that flew in the Phoenix skies over the city and were visible not only in Arizona, but Nevada and Sonora, Mexico as well. Witness accounts came from an area of about 300 miles that covered the Nevada state line through Phoenix to the edge of Tucson. There were claims from thousands of witnesses who made reports of this incident.
Thousands.
That spring evening between 7:30 and 10:30 p.m.
So they all came in one night. Thousands of people saw and reported.
Well, I'm sure
this.
There's more after that. But
like, still, yeah. But that's like a huge
But like as it was happening, you know.
Yeah.
Based on all the claims, it was concluded that there were two events that took place, both considered to be part of the Phoenix Lights. Some witnesses claim to have seen lights from a triangle that was seen passing over the state of Arizona, while others claim to see a series of stationary lights in just the Phoenix area. I say just, but Phoenix is not a small city.
Right.
In a total, our state covers 517 square miles, so you can imagine how big that thing was, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So in the night in question, the initial report came in which a man stated that around 6:55 p.m. he saw a V-shaped object above Henderson, Nevada. According to the witness, he claimed that the UFO had six lights towards the front of it, was about the size to him of a Boeing 747 that sounded like rushing wind. Lights were also reported to be seen around 100 miles north of Phoenix in the Prescott area. In this part of the state, people started calling about the incident almost 30 minutes after the initial report.
Wow, wait, so they heard he actually heard a noise like whoosh.
That, he did, yeah.
That's but wild.
Other people say differently as well.
Okay, so. I never heard that.
Yeah. Many of these witnesses detailed that the UFO was definitely solid, as in Prescott it is very easy to see the stars, and this object was blocking out the starry skies as it moved. A man and his family claimed that the lights looked like they were five separate lights in an arc shape. At first, they said it looked like the lights were on something like a balloon that appeared to be stationary, but then they started to see that the lights were moving towards them. And as the lights came closer, they also became clearer, taking on the shape of an upside-down V. At one point, the lights were approximately 2 miles away from these witnesses, and then a few minutes later, the UFO was about 100 to 140 feet above them. They said the object had moved so slow that it looked as it was just hovering and was completely silent. The object eventually moved past them towards Piestewa Peak, located in Dreamy Draw Recreational Area, which I mentioned in our minisode last week.
Yeah, when you talked about your dreamy drawers.
Yeah. One witness, who normally would be a skeptic, said he became a believer that night after seeing the lights hover for over 2 hours.
Shit.
After various Phoenix reports, reports came from the city of Kingman, Arizona, which is about 300 miles northeast of Phoenix. Here, a man on his way to Los Angeles called from a payphone. Remember those?
No.
To report seeing a...
You would remember him, though.
Bitch, please. You invented the payphone.
That was good. That was really good.
He called from a payphone to report seeing a bizarre cluster of stars moving slowly in the northern sky. There was some photographic evidence taken of the events. Some pictures were of the triangular formation found in Prescott, while the other pictures coming from the views in Phoenix. That being said, there are very few videos or photos of the initial incident, according to some. One man had recorded a detailed video that showed the outline of a spacecraft, but that video has been lost.
Interesting.
And to date, not recovered.
Convenient.
Yeah. There are many more videos and pictures taken of the incidents from Phoenix. Many of these that, if you have seen any TV shows or documentaries about the incident, appear in these tellings of the event. Of the evidence, the one that most people are familiar with is one in which there seems to be an arc of lights appearing one by one and then disappearing in a similar fashion. In viewing these pictures and videos, it has been estimated that the UFO was about as large as a mile in diameter.
Shit.
There, of course, are many more witness accounts and photographic evidence, which I have omitted to give us a chance to talk about them in detail in our stories. And that is a little bit of information of the incident known as the Phoenix Lights.
Yeah, like, it's so weird because not being from here, like, I'd never heard of it. But once you know about it, and I think people also in the UFO circle, this is, like, one of the number one UFO thingies, light thingies,
well,
in history, like, ever, right? This is one of the biggest ones.
It also happened, I don't know if it's months or weeks after, like, Roswell, like, the anniversary of Roswell, like, the 50th anniversary or something like that.
So, oh, interesting. So people's...
radar was already...
Yeah. We're already heightened.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So my first story, I'm calling the flare hoax. And the reason that I picked this story is because I actually at first was like, well, I guess I found it, the debunk, like the debunk for it. And because I read the article, and the article claims that, yes, this is fact. This is the proven debunk for
until you get to the end. Just kidding.
No, well, that's what I thought. But this article really believes that it is.
Oh, so it's open not. And shut. It's not universally believed.
It's not
them that believe it,
and there are holes in it too.
Oh, okay.
And so that's why I'm like, huh, but it's like a.
Did it come from a legitimate source?
It came from Oh God, I found LiveScience.com.
Oh, which is a legitimate source.
Yes, and that's where the bulk of the information came from. And they claim that this is the explanation that is proven.
Oh, okay. So let me get into calling out Live Science on this podcast.
Well, tell me what you think when I finish this. So the Air Force said, you know, they had no explanation for the lights. Like, that's the thing, is they're unexplained. And air traffic.
Hence UFOs.
Yeah, UFOs. But I don't know, but sometimes, like, a lot of these, you really find out that, oh, this was a Zeppelin or whatever. You know what I mean?
A Zeppelin? Like, what century are we living in, old man?
I just was naming a word. Just the first word in my brain.
Do they even fly those things anymore? Zeppelins?
They're from my childhood.
Apparently. Anyways.
But you know what I mean, though, right? Yeah. Like, sometimes a real explanation comes forth, but with this, it really hasn't. But anyway, so here... it even says, like, it didn't show up on radar. Theories abounded with UFOs and aliens being popular. But... there's something I found that wasn't as widespread, and it's this right here. The case took a twist 2 days later. Tell me if you've heard of this. When a local television station aired a startling confession by an anonymous hoaxer. He claimed that he had created the UFO lights using road flares tied to helium balloons, launching them in one-minute increments.
Never have I heard that.
Really? Oh, some people were amused by the hoax. Others were angered, and many people were really kind of skeptical of such a mundane explanation, because people want to believe in aliens and UFOs.
Especially if you're covering 1 mile in diameter, that's going to be kind of difficult and very calculated, you know?
Right? So, it says here, it's true that just because a person confesses to a hoax doesn't mean that the case is solved.
Of course.
After all, people often falsely confess to things they didn't do, including even murder. And they actually mentioned in parentheses, and I'm going to say it because I didn't know it, about John Mark Carr falsely confessed to killing JonBenet Ramsey in 2006. I didn't know that there was a false confession.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
So a confession, especially an anonymous one, by itself is not credible unless corroborated by physical evidence. In this case, however, the article says the evidence is so overwhelming that the Phoenix Lights were indeed a hoax.
Again, according to Live Science.
According to Live Science. And they actually say caveat. There's a big asterisk on my, a cat asshole is on this. But the article says, let's consider the facts. Number one, the formation of the lights is consistent with independently moving objects, not fixed lights on an aircraft. They rose into the air together, stayed in more or less the same formation while in the same air currents, then drifted apart as they gained altitude. Okay. Also, the mysterious lights drifted toward the east, which was the same direction as the wind that night. Two.
Interesting.
Yeah. Number two, air traffic controllers reported that nothing showed up on their radar. If the lights were the only visible part of a metallic spaceship or airplane, they would have clearly been on radar. However, quote-unquote UFOs consisting of small balloons, road flares, and some fishing line would be invisible to radar.
Yeah, that doesn't sit. That does not pan out for me.
Really?
Sorry.
Well, so number three, the way the lights disappeared also supports this hoax theory. They did not zoom away at high speed as one might expect from an aircraft, nor did they all suddenly and mysteriously disappear. Instead, eyewitnesses reported that the lights were visible for between 15 and 30 minutes until they went out one by one. This is exactly the pattern we would expect to see from flares that were lit and launched in sequence.
Well, it depends where your people were viewing these from, because what do they get to one of my stars?
That's, well, there are clearly holes in this. But number four, the final one is, one of, I love that, this is my favorite. One of the hoax's neighbors, yeah. Mr. Malo, and it's M-A-I-L-O, my Mr. Malo, actually saw the hoaxer launch the helium balloons and flares. Malo said the flares were lit about 8 p.m. just before the UFO lights were first sighted. So he actually said, I sat there and watched my neighbor do this.
Yeah.
Thus, the article claims Phoenix lights are explained. Yeah. All that is needed to create a UFO sighting is one person who may not recognize a light or object in the sky. Mm-hmm. But just because people, even thousands of people, don't know what they're seeing doesn't mean that someone else, maybe a hoaxer, doesn't know exactly what it is. So this article makes it sound like it's 100% proven, but it's obviously not true. Many people have tons of evidence against it being flares, and I would say one person would be you. You know, and I even saw some reports saying that some places did say that something was picked up on radar.
Okay.
And so, and if that's the case, well, then that kind of debunks this hoax. So I think it's a really interesting theory. I actually at first was like, oh, maybe this is really true. But then as I read more, I'm like, what? But as you said, live science is pretty reputable.
I thought.
So what the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, wow. So you're just adding more conspiracies.
Yeah. That's why I did this instead of debunk, because I think a conspiracy theory that actually is claiming to prove something is really neat.
Interesting. Well, for my first story, I'm turning to a key witness of the Phoenix lights that I had not mentioned before. I'm talking about Dr. Lynn Kitay. Dr. Lynn, as she prefers to be called, is, among other things, an internationally acclaimed physician and health educator. She has done a lot of major work in the healthcare field, as well as published some major academic writings and been the keynote speaker for many major events. She is even in a few movies, including Raising Arizona, which was obviously filmed here. But yeah, what's that look for?
Synchronicity. I saw that movie for the first time in Texas last week.
Oh,
because my friends were like, you've never seen it? And I was like, nope. And they were like, well, you have to. And we watched it that night.
That's...
Oh my God. I'm having, Chris, I have to say, the last couple of weeks, I have had so many weird synchronicities happening. Like, something's going on.
Well, like, there's been a lot of that.
Is she related to George Takei?
Kitay. K-I-T-E-I.
Is she related to George Kitay?
Yeah.
Continue. Sorry.
So, all that being said, after some experiences of her own, she retired from medicine to not only tell her story, but to do some further investigation into UFOs and the Phoenix lights.
Oh, wow.
With that research, she has also published some books, produced a documentary, has been on numerous podcasts, and so much more. She has, like I said, she has been called a key eyewitness of the Phoenix lights events. Prior to her incidents, Dr. Lynn has said that she wasn't interested in the topic and didn't know much about it. In fact, she considers herself a healthy skeptic and had said that the closest she had ever come to anything of the sort was from watching things like Star Trek, E.T., and Close Encounters of the Third Kind. When the lights first appeared, she wasn't too sure what exactly was going on, but decided to get her video camera. A couple of years prior to this incident in 1995, Dr. Lynn had witnessed some orbs hovering in the sky not too far from her home. Not only that, 2 months prior to the Phoenix light, she had also seen some similar orbs. During both of those incidents, she had only been able to take photos of them. By the time she got back outside with her video camera, she could now only make out 3 lights. What she got on tape that night would end up being one of the most important and most legitimate recordings from the incident.
Oh, wow.
If you have ever seen footage of the Phoenix lights, it most likely has come from Dr. Lynn's videotape.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. For 7 years after the Phoenix lights occurred, Dr. Lynn herself remained anonymous with her research and findings because she was afraid of the backlash, especially considering she is so prestigious in her medical career.
Oh, you know? Wow. Okay.
She said that, quote, "It wasn't an easy task to keep silent with all the credible info I was finding, but at the time the topic was too controversial and those who did come forward were ostracized and discredited." In those 7 years, she was able to gather a lot of research on not just the Phoenix Lights, but similar sightings across the world. This would result in her coming clean and revealing her name in her book, simply called The Phoenix Lights. Of her coming out of the UFO closet, if you will, she says that she did not do it for herself, but instead says that in order to present the data she had gathered, she had to come forward and tell people what she knew. She also says that as a physician, she wanted other people to know that their stories were valid and that they weren't alone. Of that, she said, quote, "Ultimately, after 7 years of anonymity and intense research as a scientist, educator, physician for over 40 years, and a firsthand experiencer to what is now hailed as the most witnessed, most documented, and most important mass UFO events in modern history, I felt it was imperative that I come forward in March 2004 with the riveting data and let others decide for themselves." One thing I didn't mention in my history, and I was actually previously unaware of, it surprised me, is that Dr. Lynn states that after thousands of reports, that has been concluded that there were actually 10 different crafts in the air that night.
10?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nuts.
Yeah. Especially that they kind of made a formation of sorts, you know?
Yeah,
so that adds further fuel to the conspiracy fire, you know?
Yeah, the helium balloon with the flares formed together.
Of course, Dr. Lynn is no stranger to conspiracy theories. When asked about the most bizarre one, she said there have been explanations of holograms, blimps, Chinese lanterns, and even, get this, even geese with flashlights in their mouths.
Wait, is that what people think they see, or is it actually proven that maybe a goose did somehow swoop down, pick up a flashlight,
I don't know if it's just an explanation or what.
I'm going to look this up.
For the naysayers, Dr. Lynn says, quote, "Some people deny it even exists, that it all feeds into a logical explanation. That's okay if it gives them comfort, everyone in their own time." One thing that Dr. Lynn said in an article about 15 years ago is that, quote, "I can see that someday in the not too distant future, the city of Phoenix is going to start owning this event. I think that when you look at a 10-year span, we are moving toward the whole community of Phoenix getting to own its phenomenon and wanting to share it with the world."
I agree.
She probably never predicted this event would become as big as it is today.
Oh, that's true.
And there you have key eyewitness and best video evidence from Dr. Lynn Cattay.
Yeah, well, okay, so I said I agree, but does Phoenix celebrate? Did they do a big thing like next week or whenever?
I was going to mention it later, but I'll mention it now. But on the 20th, they're going to show the movie, the documentary, The Phoenix Lights at one of the Harkins theaters here as the 25th anniversary event, you know.
Okay.
But they also have the UFO Congress every year, and she's spoken there and been a keynote speaker and stuff.
I'm just wondering why there's not a big festival with drinks and like something really fun.
Phoenix Light.
Yeah, like Mothman Festival.
Oh,
and stuff.
It'd be cool, like considering it's called the Phoenix Lights, like if it was like a rave.
Yeah, exactly. With like a laser show and stuff. Yeah, exactly. I think it'd be cool. Yeah. Okay.
Honest conversations with interesting people. Hi, I'm Mike from the Genuine Chit Chat podcast, and I talk to a wide variety of guests across an eclectic range of interesting topics. People I've spoken to include a magister from the Church of Satan, a blind Australian filmmaker, a puppeteer from Labyrinth and Dark Crystal, and I also speak to musicians of all kinds of genres, authors, actors, podcasters. Really, there is no limit to who I speak to, and the subject matter is endless. So if you believe in the art of conversation and want to hear different people talking about their passions, then this is the perfect show for you. You can find Genuine Chit Chat anywhere you listen to podcasts, and there's some video versions on YouTube, so there's no reason not to tune in.
So my second story, I call it The Lights Continue. So y'all, okay.
Well, they continue through this whole episode.
Yes, through the whole episode. So y'all, okay, apparently Arizona is just a freaking hotbed of UFO sightings.
Yeah.
Just in 2019 alone, more than 200 UFOs were witnessed over the skies of Arizona. Well, I found a continuation of the Phoenix Lights that occurred in Mesa in December 8th of 2019.
What?
Yeah, and I talked about Mesa in my last mm-hmm. episode, so this actually ties into that. So on December 8th, 2019, yet another remarkable visitation caught the attention of thousands of people when multiple witnesses reported and recorded a lighted orb over the busy city of Mesa. British media outlet Express wrote, "A strange orb-like object appeared in the skies above Arizona, and no one knows what they are," leading to theories of alien visitation. One eyewitness told a local television station that the orb, quote, started kind of moving diagonally across, trying to figure out which way it was headed. And as it did, that's when we noticed it started dropping things from it.
Yeah.
It was a cloudy night and had drizzled off and on. Regular planes had been flying by since. We can see the flight path for the airport.
Yeah.
Then boom, it started dropping what looked like orange fireballs or something that traveled for a few seconds before they faded out and disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, I saw this bright, glowing orange light. I thought it was a planet or a star at first. And then I realized, oh, that's close.
Yeah.
I was like, that's my favorite quote. Witnesses DJ Meyer and Carrie Burnett also shared their story with the local news. The couple says that they spotted the phenomena outside their Mesa home on Sunday around 9 that night. So, okay, when I first read it, I actually thought it said that it stopped outside their home. And I was like, what? So it's actually like, hi.
And they tried to pick them up, but they're like, no, thank you.
He's like, here's your DoorDash. I'm like, thanks. They say they saw the object coming from the southeast, and they said it started moving kind of diagonal across. I was trying to figure out which way it was heading, and that's when we noticed it started dropping things from it.
Mm-hmm.
The object captured on two cell phones looked like a bright orb hovering silently in the sky. And then, just like their reports, every few moments, it appears to drop what looks like flares toward the ground.
Okay.
Right? Okay. So they posted this to Facebook, and the comments rolled in, but no one had any explanation for what they were seeing. Some thought in their comments that it was an aircraft. Some thought it was aliens. Some thought it was a comet.
Mm-hmm.
So second part of this article, I was actually not going to post this one because this one, unlike the previous, seems really obvious that this was a balloon or a plane dropping flares.
Okay.
And they even said it was flare-like. But then I kept reading and doing some more research on this.
Well, as
it
you
turns
should.
Out, as I should. Well, it turns out ABC 15 reached out to several aviation experts
mm-hmm.
who theorized the lights seen could be from parachute flares used by the military or even helicopters or other mm-hmm. aircrafts dropping flares during training.
Okay.
But video found online of those type of exercises just didn't seem to match. An expert said there were no navigation lights. Even the military must have navigation lights on. That's an FAA rule.
Yes.
So ABC 15 then is like, we're still curious about this. So they reached out to the Federal Aviation Administration, the Luke Air Force Base, and mm-hmm. the Army National Guard. None of them could say for certain what it was.
Of course not.
So far, officials from government, law enforcement, and the military have not replied with their usual, this is weather balloons or flare explanations.
There was a lot of hush-hush with the government during this incident.
Yeah.
And I didn't get into that because that's a long, complicated story. But there was one with the city Phoenix councilwoman that tried to bring it to them to do more investigation. And there were a lot of pushback. And then it got very weird after that. So there's a lot of, again, conspiracy theories that goes into that.
And this is another one because it said that all these government bodies seem to be just as puzzled as the eyewitnesses are. Mm-hmm. And to this day, well, that's a few years ago, but there was still no concrete explanation for what this was.
Yeah.
So, and that's 2019. So still, this is happening.
Yeah. There's still controversy and still tons of theories behind all of this. And we still don't know.
Nope.
I mean, we can guess, but
I think it was Chris's flaming personality.
Whatever.
Shining in the sky.
So, for my second story, I decided to look into two other very different witness accounts. Most of the witness accounts that I've read or that we talked about today discussing the Phoenix lights from the ground. Well, this next account is a little different.
Ooh.
This is from an article from 2007 in which a pilot for Southwest Airlines who witnessed the event was interviewed. The pilot requested to be anonymous at the time of the interview for obvious reasons. This witness stated she was a captain at Southwest Airlines, and on the night of the alleged incident, she was on a flight that was going from Phoenix to San Francisco. The pilot states that when the plane is at altitude on that certain flight, they can see lights that pretty much cover the Southwest region, you know. On the night of March 13th, 1997, as she was in mid-flight, the pilot said she suddenly saw a pattern of huge lights, which she first mistook for an aircraft carrier that was about to land in Las Vegas.
Oh, wow.
She said that she had seen six or seven bright lights ahead of them that weren't moving. These particular lights then would get brighter. She said they were able to watch them for a good 8 minutes. Despite the lights not appearing to move, the pilot said that her plane was traveling at 550 miles per hour, and despite that, the lights appeared to somehow keep pace with the plane and didn't seem to be getting any closer.
Weird.
Yeah. Being curious, the pilot called flight control to see if they could see what she could, but there was nothing on their radar. That being said, another airplane that was about 100 miles east of the Southwest flight reported seeing something as well. And just as suddenly as they saw those lights, they disappeared without even seeming to move, you know. The pilot said that all of a sudden they saw what appeared to be a military flare shoot into the sky, which led her and her co-pilot to believe that, quote, someone was trying to keep them quiet about the incident. Because the pilot said that the military shooting up flares at commercial planes never happens, and that someone was just trying to scare them.
Oh, because I was about to say, why would they do that?
Yeah.
But I was like, that seems really dangerous or weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
To further confuse them, suddenly there was what she believed was a fighter jet that appeared and disappeared just as quickly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's wild.
After landing at their destination, the pilot and co-pilot were so scared that they called their families to tell them not to answer the phone, anything like that, just in case something happened. Yeah.
Wow. Like from the government?
Yeah.
So they were more scared of the government than they were of aliens.
Yeah, I guess so.
Huh.
Based on the pilot's view, she believed that the lights actually began in Las Vegas, eventually moving over Phoenix, which has also led her to theorize that the lights may have actually had something to do with Area 51.
Interesting.
So now my second observation comes from a Terry Mansfield, a hospice care worker. Coincidentally enough, her and some of her friends were gathered that night of the Phoenix lights in hopes of viewing another space phenomenon, the Hale-Bopp comet.
Oh.
Looking up at the sky at 7:30 p.m., instead of seeing the comet that they had expected, they were met with a huge object that completely obscured their view of anything else. Terry said that instead of feeling frightened, she was overcome with a sense of joy for no other reason other than, according to her, that she was in awe of something so majestic, but also at absolute peace at witnessing something so life-changing.
Woo!
She says these feelings gave her the feeling that everything was right with the world, and as well, she had made a connection with a larger presence.
These feelings gave her the feeling?
Yeah. You know what I mean.
So many feelings.
Of the aircraft, she says that, quote, it filled the sky. It obliterated stars while it moved from north to south very slowly and absolutely silently. After hearing about other accounts, Terry knew what she saw and knew she was not alone. After her observation, Terry felt more secure in her belief of life beyond Earth. Witnessing this amazing phenomena to her meant that life in the universe had come to her, and in that moment she had been touched by these creatures, you know. Since that time, Terry has been inspired to work for peace.
It's the Wombulance coming to take her away.
Since that time, Terry has been inspired to work for peace around the world, as well as being a part of establishing institutions that would seek peaceful resolutions to conflict.
Oh, well at least something positive happened, and yeah. It's nice.
And there you have two very different witness accounts of the Phoenix Lights, one from land and one from air.
Very different.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel like this is going to be an episode that's going to get our listeners engaged.
Yeah.
Like they're going to want to know more because it is truly really unexplained.
Yeah. So.
And so.
How are you going to debunk this then?
Okay. So I actually found a massive article that not like that hoax thingy that I found, was claimed that this is the most feasible debunk. But I didn't want to read it because I don't. I kind of don't want to not believe in this because it's so wild. So I actually found, I tweaked my debunk a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. So as I said earlier, Arizona is a hotbed for sex, for hotbed, a hotbed for activity, UFO sightings and stuff, you know.
Okay.
And woo people will talk about how that makes perfect sense. That Terry person probably would as well. But they say it's because Arizona contains a number of unusual vortices.
Yes, we talk about those. We have before in Sedona.
Yep, exactly. In the mountains of Sedona, north of Phoenix. These are said to be sites of extremely powerful, attractive energy currents of some kind.
Yeah, emanating forces.
From, from the mountainous terrain. And that can be what can attract anything paranormal, unexplained. It's kind of a catch-all, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like the the doorway, you know, like a doorway to another parallel universe, in a sense.
So woo people would say, you know, well, explain to me why we have so many sightings if it's not something paranormal. So that's what I did some digging and found some information around about why Arizona has so many more sightings per capita. Number one, many Arizona, I don't even know what I'm saying. Number one, many areas of Arizona do not have the same number of city lights as other largely populated areas, making objects in the sky much easier to see at night. And I know for a fact this is true because whenever I would visit Tucson to see my grandmother, and it's a way bigger than Amarillo or Pampa or anything, but you could see all the stars so beautifully because there's a massive observatory there, and there were all these rules around light and how tall buildings can be and all of this stuff.
I was just going to tell you that in Flagstaff, they have the same thing. You can't have neon lighting because they have a light ordinance that it can only be so many lumens. You know?
Yeah. So, yeah, all the lumens. Mm-hmm. And so that's one reason. And number two, because Arizona's climate is so dry, there were often, you know, much fewer clouds to obscure stargazing or UFO spotting. And that is so true, too, because I've never experienced this until I moved here to Phoenix, where there are sometimes so many clear blue days that I forget what clouds look like cloudy days. And weeks like this week that are cloudy, I will, the first day or two, I will walk outside and be like, what is this stuff in the sky? And so I think those two reasons make absolutely perfect sense about why we see so much more here. And also because of those reasons about, like, we have everything dimmed and everything's ready for us to look at the sky. Psychologically, people are going to be more inclined to see stuff as well.
At least you think so.
Yeah, I am thinking that you believe that the Phoenix lights are a UFO or something.
Well, all right. Well, you know that I have, you know this, and I've hinted this a couple of times on the podcast that I'm truly on the fence about aliens, you know, only because anytime I hear about them, I think of the stereotype of known in the community as grays, which to me don't seem realistic. That being said, I am not so arrogant to think that there is not other life form beyond the Earth. But what about UFOs? Well, to be honest, anything can be considered a UFO if an object is flying out there in the universe that has yet to be identified, you know. So I definitely believe there was something out there in the sky almost 25 years ago. But as to what it is, I really have no idea, nor do I side with any one theory, you know. Only because a few of them seem completely legit and logical, except maybe the geese with flashlights and...
That was the one I believed.
Side story, now that we've discussed them, I still want somebody to draw a cartoon of them.
Oh, you know, I actually was sitting here this whole time wondering why geese, but it's because geese fly in a V formation.
Yeah, exactly.
Derp. And I was actually picturing that in my head. Yes, Vinyl Bear.
Yeah.
Draw this for us, please.
Yeah, Rich.
Rich, come on.
Back to Dr. Lynn, I do agree with her explanation. In an interview, she said, quote, "Most anomalies can be explained. Only a small percent cannot. But just because we don't have the technology yet to definitely define what they are, it doesn't mean they're not real."
True.
"So until someone can come through with a foolproof explanation, I will continue to believe that what occurred in the Phoenix skies on March 13th, 1997 may not be of this world. Here we are 25 years later, still asking the big questions about this strange event. Hopefully over the next 25 years, we will find out some answers."
Yeah. And what's interesting, and this is something, just because this is such a massive event with so many theories and stuff that people could go research, we didn't really touch the idea that a lot of people think that it was some military technology that they're not ready to disclose that was being tested.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that if anyone's interested, you know, go look that up
and
tell us what you think about that, because there are definitely millions of theories about this thing. I wish I lived here during that, because that would have been really cool to have experienced.
Yeah, that was right a few years before I got here. So,
yeah.
Well, after now we have a creep of the week. It's very short and poignant, but after years of government conspiracy and cover-ups, there is now a new office in the Pentagon that will investigate sightings of UFOs, or as now they're being called UAPs, Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon.
Okay.
Many who have been researching such things for years are afraid that the military will withhold or cover up certain information.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, according to one of these naysayers, he says, quote, "This is a subject with a provable history of secrecy, and anything that lacks a new openness about the information is subject to more possibly inappropriate control." I completely agree with that, but at the same time, perhaps it's a step in the right direction into research that at one time we knew very little or nothing about.
Well, and the fact that they felt they had to form this
says thing, something in its own.
You know? It says something like, why?
There's so much of that going on that they have to.
Yeah, but then you also, like, the skeptic side of me says, well, maybe there are so many people reporting all this bullshit that finally they're like, okay, we need to just create a committee with the people that we don't want to hire anymore, like Joe, who just doesn't shut up, and we're just going to put him in charge of this committee to handle all this bullshit.
That would suck.
Debunk!
Yeah, so that was the Phoenix Lights. If you want more information on them as a whole, there's the 2005 documentary called The Phoenix Lights that was actually written and directed by Dr. Lin. And for Phoenix locals, like I said earlier, there will be a special screening of it on March 20th, 22nd, 2022 at the one of the local Harkins movie theaters here. So
awesome. I want to go check it out. I want to know more about this now that
I saw a documentary too on Amazon Prime, and it was very engaging and well.
I really thought that, kind of like the other lights we talk about, I was going to find the explanation.
There's not one single. Well, then again, it's 25 years. It's still fairly new in that community.
That's true. But it's that makes it more fascinating. I like when things are unexplained. Yeah. I think it makes it more interesting.
Yeah. So, all right, guys. Well, thank you everybody for listening. Again, we apologize for being late. Just going through a lot of things, and it'll be a little weird here and there. But you know. Either way, we will try our best to do what we can. And again, thank you, everybody. You can find us on all your podcatchers by searching BS Pod PHX, as well as if you have any stories. If you know anything about the Phoenix Lights or had your own encounter, email us at bspodphx@gmail.com. And of course, all social medias by searching BS Pod PHX.
Yeah. And my books, The Gay Teen's Guide to Defeating a Siren, as always, are available. That's our topic. I think that was a really fun one.
Yeah.
I whenever we get these ones that remain unexplained at the end, at least in my brain, are always some of my favorites. Yeah. So I think that was really, really cool. Well, everyone, share your thoughts, your opinions, anything you want to send us, let us know. Have a wonderful week and
bye. Bye.
See you again next time.